Hey, welcome to the New Life Bible Fellowship podcast. Our mission is to cultivate a community that enjoys God and transforms the world through the gospel. We hope these weekly messages serve to inspire you, invite you to experience the greatness of God, and empower you to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us.
Is anybody in here ready to celebrate today in baptism?
Woohoo!
So we have just a great treat of celebrating what God is doing in people's lives through baptism at the close. That's where we're heading. I will share as we dive into God's Word. So years ago, before lead pastor for me, I was in seminary. And during that time, I got to pretend I was a pastor for a summer. So there was a pastor in a small mountain town of Colorado named Gunnison who was going overseas for a handful of months, and I got to fill in for him and kind of pretend I was a pastor. And this pastor, he interviewed me at seminary, but the first week there, I got to know him a fair bit. And one thing very humbling for me, I got up there, and the first week he preached, and we overlapped with each other, and he preached a powerful message out of the Word. And I don't know if it was just pride in me, but I somehow thought a small mountain town of Colorado, the proclamation of God's Word was not going to be as powerful. I sat back and just soaked it in. It was so good. He poured into me through that week, and through the summer we were in touch even though he was overseas. And we had another week together at the close of the summer. And then we stayed in touch through seminary and into that early ministry. But it's just a year or two into early ministry for me that I got a call from Pam, his wife, and it was a shocking one. She said, "Hey, Greg, I don't know if you're up for giving Chip a call, but just background, it just came out this week that he's been having an affair for the last couple years, and he's leaving me and the boys." Had a couple of young boys. And as she talked, she said, "You know, I will say this. If Satan can get a hold of him, he can get a hold of anybody, because he is a man of God." Now, I don't want to get lost in the theology of can a man of God slip into that, but here's the thing. As we approach God's Word today, I think we need a holy fear about the power of sin and of temptation. And we need a humble attitude that acknowledges every person in here, me at the front of the line, but by the grace of God, we're capable of the most heinous sins at any moment. But by the grace of God.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the closing line of Jesus' prayer. He gives this prayer to the disciples who ask, "Lord, how should we pray?" And he offers this prayer. It's a prayer that we've been going over the past 6 weeks or so in this 40-day prayer challenge. And we conclude the prayer today with Jesus' line, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, if you're like super sharp, you're like, "Wait a second, that's not the last line of the Lord's Prayer. Isn't it, 'For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever? Amen.'" It's interesting, actually. So the final line of Jesus' prayer was, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." The early church, really early on, added this kind of response back to Jesus' prayer. It's a beautiful response. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." But Jesus' final words are these. And so we want to stop and reflect on them today as we bring this to a close. And our prayer is that as you've navigated this series with us, it's not just that you've learned more about prayer, but that you've been pressed more deeply into prayer. That's what we want for all of us, is to experience God in our prayer. So as we've been doing throughout the series, I'd encourage you to pray with us. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together one final time here for the series. And I'll give you a little heads up at the part about sin. Some use debts, some use trespasses. We're going to use just the broader word, sins, okay? So let's pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
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 So this verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're going to dwell on this verse, and first we're going to dive into it and ask, what does this actually mean to us, and then how do we apply it in our lives? And when we say, what does this mean for us, even that first line, and lead us not into temptation, when we pray that, we have to acknowledge at the onset, God does not tempt any of us. In fact, in the book of James, we read these words in chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So God does not tempt us. So when we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're not saying God tempts us, would you stop tempting us? But at the same time, while James reflects on this truth that God does not tempt us, back in Matthew, Matthew's still here, lo and behold. Just two chapters earlier in Matthew, in chapter 4, we begin with these words. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so while God does not tempt us, the devil does. And God uses Satan's tempting of us to test us and refine us and mold us into his glory. To live is to be tempted. Anyone like tempted this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. That's all of us. Every single one of us. We're tempted in our thoughts. We're tempted in our feelings. We're tempted in what we do. We're tempted all the time. And God uses that to mold us and shape us. So when we even say, lead us not into temptation, we're not saying we'll have it be that life is temptation-free. To live in this world is to be tempted. But we're saying, don't let us fall into temptation. Do not let temptation overwhelm me and take me. God, stay true to your promise and always provide a way out. Give me the strength and the grace to endure and persevere so that while Satan is trying to tempt us and cause us to fall, we can stand true where God would want us to persevere through a test to shine his glory for his glory and for our good. And so our prayer, lead us not into temptation, is do not let me fall into temptation. Mm-hmm. Don't leave me into temptation. Always provide a way out. Give me the grace and strength to persevere.
Mm-hmm. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But deliver us from evil. It's an interesting statement. It's a statement that reflects on the state of our own heart, the state of our flesh, really, that pulls us into temptation, that drags us into sin. It's in me, it's in us to be those who are pulled toward sin. And we say, Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me. Rescue me from the evil in my heart. But it's more than that, because actually, and you can see this in any modern translation of the Bible, there's a little footnote there that says, this also can be translated, but deliver us from the evil one. And the reason for that is, it's actually literally, Jesus says, but deliver us from the evil. There's the definite article there. And so you can translate it, deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. Meaning there's an adversary in this world. There's one. We don't live in a neutral world, in this neutral playing ground where it's just us and our own flesh. No, there's an adversary who's pulling us, who's dragging us, who's fighting for us to be those who step into, who walk into sin. But deliver us from the evil one. The way Peter talks about this over in 1 Peter 5, he gives this advice, and you can hear the Lord's Prayer in this advice. He says this: be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The world you're in is dangerous. The stakes are high. There is an enemy who's trying to drag you into sin. Fight against him. Be wary of his ways. Lord, deliver me from the evil within me, and deliver me from the evil one.
So Jesus is saying, at the foundation of our prayers, the disciples come, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And he teaches them. And with a few short principles in this Lord's Prayer, it's supposed to be the springboard for our prayer. It has the elements for our prayers, the signposts for our daily prayers. She said, don't fall asleep to this. There is a devil. He is fighting against you. He is roaring like this prowling like a roaring lion, trying to devour you. And so as a part of your prayers, pray. Daily independence. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, as we try to apply this into our lives, we believe there's a couple of principles that we can't miss here. And the first is this, that we are praying that God would deliver us from temptation, not simply sin. You see, temptation is not sin. You can be tempted and not sin. Jesus was tempted and yet did not sin. It depends how long you linger in it, how long you embrace it. Temptation slowly goes through a process and gives birth to sin. But temptation itself is not sin in and of itself. And Jesus says, you take this so seriously that you pray that God would lead you away from temptation, delivering you from the evil one. And so we come with a humility to say, God, I desperately need you to lead me from temptation. We come with an awareness that God calls us to a holy standard of living. Mm-hmm. Therefore, temptation itself, we pray for deliverance from, not just sin. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you meet Christians, they've been Christians for 10, 20, 30 years, but somehow they've accepted a life of mediocrity. Somehow they've accepted sin is okay, and they just linger in it. Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. You accept the holiness of God as a call, and you pray for deliverance from temptation itself. You're aware of the power of sin. You pray deliverance from temptation, and you come with that humility. Lord, deliver us from temptation.
Yeah, keep me out of the way of sin, the path of sin. So in July, Pastor Zach started this little exercise challenge with staff, and you got really into it. And
I did.
One of the ways you got into it was it spun you into this weight loss journey, which you're doing amazing on. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Lost a ton of weight.
Not 2,000 pounds, actually. It's less than that.
And like you don't go on a weight loss journey and stop by the donut shop every morning, right?
Like no, you gotta say like, honey, no temptation. Like don't fill the fridge with temptation.
Yes, yeah. Like it changes how you shop, right? Yeah. It changes what you put in your house. Like don't even buy the cookies. Don't like certainly if you're gonna buy the cookies, like they better be at the back of the shelf. I need obstacles in my way before I
carrot
get to the cookies.
Carrot sticks. Cookies.
That's right. Yeah. Like, get me out of the way. Every addict knows this. Everyone who's seriously struggled to fight against addiction in their life. If you're sitting in this room, you know this, right? Like, you have to change. You can't go to the same parties with the same stuff that's there. You can't hang around the same friends who you know are going to be unhelpful in helping you fight that journey. God, I need a whole different path. Turn me the opposite direction and help me walk that way. Lead us not into temptation.
So I had a friend in high school who got into juggling, and he was pretty good with tennis balls, and he thought, well, you go from tennis balls to hot coals. I'm not sure how he missed the steps in between, but that was the path. And so to display the brilliance of what teenage boydom is, We hopped into this backyard. It was like a big Weber grill. We put the Kingsford charcoals in there, lit them all up, wait for them to get to this burning hot glow. And then the games begin, right? So you can't touch them. So we took three hot coals with tongs and we set them up on the rack, you know, so they're there. And he's like, all right, so I can't grab them, but what you throw them to me and I'll catch them and then I'll bounce them and I'll juggle the hot coals. And so he's standing ready and you flip him a hot coal and he starts, and you flip him another hot coal and he's flip him three hot coals and he's getting, you see where this is going, don't you? Not only pretty burnt hands, but then he's bouncing hot coals. There's like ash flying off these burning red embers onto his shirt. He's got burning shirt syndrome. He's got holes going in his shirt. But these are the words of Proverbs. Listen to this in chapter 6. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Yeah. Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Jesus, you don't flirt with temptation. You don't say, let me juggle temptation because it's not sin yet. You don't embrace temptation or welcome it in your life. A part of this, Jesus is saying, I want this in your prayer, your daily prayers. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation.
So the first one is you have to carve a path, not just away from sin, but away from temptation itself. The second practical application is that you have to dig up the roots of the sin. Mm-hmm. You have to dig up the roots of the sin. It's not just, the sin always has roots into it that go into our heart. What are those roots that are down deep into our heart that need to be pulled up? Now, in Arizona, we have this stuff called buffle grass. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you live a blessed life. It's nasty, nasty stuff. It's this invasive species. You can't chop it down. You can't even burn it. You have to literally, piece by piece, pull it up and make sure all the roots are gone, or else it's coming back. Mm-hmm. So it is with sin in our life. We have to go deep and figure out, what are those root issues for me in this sin? What's not just the surface level sin I need to get rid of, but what's the deep issues in my heart? What are the truths I don't understand about myself in light of who I am in my relationship to God? What am I holding on to? We have to dig up the roots of sin.
The roots of sin are, in fact, temptation. If you allow temptation to sit there stagnant, it will grow a nice big bush of sin. Listen to these words from 2 Timothy. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure. Run from temptation. Mm-hmm. Don't sit there. Don't look at it. It's not pretty. Don't flirt with it. Run away. Consider these words from the book of Romans. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. You not only take sin seriously, you take temptation seriously, and you make a part of your life and of your prayers on a daily basis. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation.
So how do we run from sin? Let's get super practical here. As you examine your own heart, each of us has these root issues. And as we examine those, it ought to change the way that we think about and we fight sin in our life. So if you struggle with the sin of envy in your life, you probably shouldn't be on social media. Like, it's just poison. You go on Instagram, you go on Facebook, like, it's poison to the sin of, it's gasoline to that sin of envy in your life, right? If you struggle with lust, like your devices, your phone, your screens, they ought to have protection on them. You can't pretend as though it doesn't exist. You can't get that cable subscription that you know what's on that cable network. You have to create paths of protection in your life. You struggle with fear in your life? Do you struggle with anger in your life? Well, friends, like Fox News, CNBC should not be your daily diet because they're gasoline to the sin of anger, to the sin of fear. Stay away from them. create these protections. Don't go in the way of sin. Don't be tempted by that sin. You struggle with greed in your life? So, like, we just moved houses, and when this happens, like, there's always these extra little things you need, right? You know, that hose, the filters, right? So that means, like, the Amazon cart is, like, getting, like, plenty of workout. There's that little dopamine hit when you hit click, you know, and then 2 days later, boom, right?
It's door. Magic.
That's magic, right? It's like, woo, you know? Like, if you struggle with that, like, you need to protect barriers. Maybe that app needs to be off of your phone. What are the ways that you say, God, put up a fence here, because I know I'm weak. Because I know that there's roots of this sin in my life, and I want to walk away from it. I want to run away from it. Lead us not into temptation.
First principle, we're praying deliverance from temptation, not just sin. Second principle, we have to dig up the roots. And the third is really powerful. We must acknowledge we cannot fight this on our own. We can't fight it by ourselves. In the very nature of Jesus putting this into prayer, Jesus said this, if you're going to model your prayer, have kind of benchmarks, ingredients in all of your prayers, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray, because we can't do it on our own. We can't handle it on our own. Listen to this verse from 2 Peter. It simply says, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. God can do it. God can do it. It is not for us to go up against Satan. You and I against Satan, not so much. Jesus against Satan, and he flickers away like a little piece of dust. We sang it earlier, didn't we? So when I fight on my knees. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
I didn't know I was
going to
put on smile.
Yeah, what is it? Come on, John.
Ryan's right there. He can help us out.
We sing it in the closing song. The victory is ours in Jesus. It's not even that we can't handle it, and so we have to pray. Here is the beautiful promise in this. We can't handle it, so we have to pray because he can.
Amen.
He can handle it. He Amen. Can handle the victory. He can flicker away Satan like a little imp. He shines his light and no darkness can stand. He can break chains. He can crush mountains. And he can push you and I through. And so we pray to him with clinging desperation. God, I can't do it. But you can. So lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. Mm-hmm. May this be a daily part of our prayers. For God can win that battle. And you and I on our own, we can't. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And so we close with baptism, a celebration of those who are raising their hands and are like, I am done with my flesh. I'm done with sin. I'm done with the way of the enemy. And I want to be alive to Christ.
Woot, woot, woot.
We get to celebrate 12 today, 7 in this service, who are making that proclamation publicly. It's a proclamation of this, right? When you go down into the waters, you're saying, I am dead to my old life. I am dead to that sin. And I am raised up. I'm lifted up in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only one who can overcome sin and temptation in my life. And it's in that resurrection power that I want to live. This is the proclamation of baptism. And so it is a joy. It is a treasure to come alongside and celebrate these baptisms. After the close of this prayer, we're going to get to watch a testimony video with the 12 who are being baptized. And then we get to celebrate the baptisms themselves. So let me pray as I do so. If you're being baptized, you can head out that back door and meet Pastor Greg and I in the back there. But let's pray. And then let's respond. God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of baptism, the gift of new life, God. New life in you, new life through Jesus Christ, new life through the only one who can defeat the enemy. and we put our trust in you. And we say, God, lead us not into temptation. We want to walk in your way, in your path, for your glory and for your good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's watch this.
Thanks for listening to the New Life Bible Fellowship podcast. We'd love to have you join us in person next week. Or check out our live stream at newlifetucson.live. Have a great week.